Good afternoon and welcome to Ask the Vet. My name is Beth Broom and our guest today is Dr. Chuck Maker, who is a large animal veterinarian at Alpine Animal Hospital. Good afternoon, Chuck.
Hey, Beth.
All right, so I'm caffeinated and ready to ask you lots of questions.
Not a good sign.
I just want to remind everybody, this is a call-in show, so if you have any vet-related questions for Dr. Maker, the number here is 963-2976. Give us a call. So I think we're going to focus on, obviously, your specialty, large animals.
That'd be good.
Unless you want to talk about cats or ferrets, which I'm happy to do. So I think some good topics for today would be to discuss some of the common issues with horses in the summertime. I know that, you know, every season has its own sort of problems for horses. They're such sensitive animals for being so large, I feel like.
That's why we like them.
It is. They're sensitive souls. what I wanted to start with was talking about some of the common problems with the heat. Summertime heat and horses, you know, we have a lot of people competing here with reining and showing and dressage and things like that. What kind of issues do you see as, like, heat-related issues with especially performance horses, I guess, or anybody trail riding, whatever?
Yeah, we see lots of things in the summer that are kind of at their root result of the heat and kind of a water intake issue, mm-hmm. if you will. Overexertion mm-hmm. and sweating deplete the animal of necessary nutrients and potentiate all sorts of problems. You know, classically, like the rodeo down there tonight, those
right.
horses ordinarily would drink, you know, 6 gallons of water on a daily basis. But, you know, their level of exertion tonight probably will increase their water intake, you know, 20%. And so we always suggest making sure your horse is hydrated and being aware of the salt loss that they endure in their athletic activities. It's relatively not humid here, so.
Right.
You really don't know if your horse is sweating or not, but when they sweat, it evaporates, but they are losing salt, so they need
okay.
a readily available electrolyte mix.
Is it dangerous to exercise your horse at the heat of the day? Or, I mean, it seems like for these horses that are being worked all day, it's kind of unavoidable. So one, is it dangerous? Should it be avoided if possible? And two, you said electrolyte salt mix. Is that one of the best things people can do? What can they do to kind of help ward off any heat-related issues?
Well,
with water?
So is it dangerous? I don't think it's dangerous per se. I mean, herbivores are uniquely situated where in their stomach they have all their food that has been combined with water in the process of chewing to where they have a tremendous water reservoir that they
mm-hmm.
can pull from.
Mm-hmm.
It's as long as they are allowed free access to water and free choice electrolytes in the form of trace minerals and regular white salt, they will regulate their own needs.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just, you know, the process of trailering for hours
mm-hmm.
and heated trailers, you know, wanting to make sure that they have ample access to water so that they know when they want to drink and they can take care of their needs.
What, since we're talking about heat and water and all that kind of stuff, how do you cool down an overheated horse, and what are the signs of an overheat? Is there
yeah.
such a thing as, like, heat exhaustion in a horse, and what does one do about that?
Well, I mean, the biggest organ in the body is the skin.
Right.
And evaporative cooling is a very efficient means of cooling your horse down. So applying cool water and fans
mm-hmm.
and airflow
mm-hmm.
and, you know, shade can pretty rapidly bring a horse's body temperature down. At the same time, you've got to replenish the water that they've lost.
Right.
So allowing them to intake water will cool them from the inside as well.
I know dogs sweat through their feet and mm-hmm. they cool themselves by panting. Horses
don't pant.
They do not pant.
If they are panting,
this is a problem.
Right.
Well, how do they sweat And is there any issues, you know, as far as, you know, I know I have an aunt who can't sweat, and it's a serious issue. Although she doesn't need deodorant, which is amazing, she doesn't cool herself well.
That's where you, you know, TMI, TMI.
Oh, gosh.
So, horses sweat, unlike dogs, where, you know, the sweat glands are uniquely located in dogs. Horses sweat all over.
Okay. You know. That's why you see them wet.
Right. There is a condition that we don't know specifically what causes it, but affects the kind of the automatic version of the nervous system where some horses are unable to sweat, called anhidrosis. We mm-hmm. don't really see it too often in this area.
Mm-hmm.
It's quintessentially a disease of horses in more humid environments. So we do see it in some horses that come from more humid environments.
Mm-hmm.
Thoroughbreds are uniquely represented in that pool, but anhidrosis does affect some horses and can be a very serious condition. It can be partial or complete, but horses can acquire this inability to sweat and really become challenged with respect to their cardiovascular system and their athletic ability, because if you can't thermoregulate yourself, and that's how horses do it, is by sweating.
So they're not necessarily born with that problem.
No, it's usually an acquired problem of middle-aged thoroughbreds, and all horses can be affected.
Hmm.
Sometimes we see it spontaneously develop after other systemic diseases. It can be a very challenging issue to deal with.
Especially for, I would imagine, a performance horse or any type of horse that's being used at all, really.
Yeah, you're not going to go run a 5K if you can't sweat and thermoregulate, because you'll die of heat exhaustion.
Right.
So, same thing. Horses. Right. Horses need to make sure they get good food, good water. This time of year, the good food is plentiful, or maybe not as much as we'd like to say with the lack of rain. But
right.
The green grass, you know, it has both water in it as well as nutrition. And
doesn't the green grass this time of year, doesn't that kind of, can that bring its own set of problems to the average horse?
The average horse, that's probably challenging
maybe not
to define, but like, the green grass, you know, it's sugar, it's digestible carbohydrates. And, as the horse population ages, we do see horses, have issues with, too much green grass exposure.
Mm-hmm.
It can cause a disease that affects the feet, called laminitis.
Mm-hmm.
There are several causes, but the classic example is, there are several classic examples, but yeah, either the older horse with metabolic or endocrine disease,
mm-hmm.
or the horse that gets too much green grass and has an insulin resistant issue, and or the horse that has a systemic infection that develops problem in its feet. So green grass is
good and
bad. We want it, but horses are essentially what they eat and drink, and with their genetics and with their training. So kind of being aware of what your horse needs,
mm-hmm.
and what they have access to are sometimes two different, sometimes not parallel discussions.
Right. That makes sense. I just want to remind everybody that this is a call-in show. Dr. Maker is excited to answer any questions animal related. Please call us here, 963-2976. So, you know, so obviously laminitis is an issue. What are just some of the things that people need to look for in regards to, how do they know if their horse, is it just all of a sudden lame? Is it walking around like it's uncomfortable? What do you see when you see a horse that's developing laminitis?
I would make the analogy of a short, stiff, stilted front leg gait, you know, kind of like you and I would walk across a gravelly parking lot with bare feet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you would be reluctant to put your foot down and just walk willfully across.
I don't know. I'm pretty cat-like.
Okay. Stop using Beth as an example. But a short, stilted gait, kind of eggshell gait, kind of tender on their front feet.
Front feet specifically.
Well, the front feet are more affected more often simply because, or in part because, the front feet bear
most of the weight.
65 to thereabouts percent of their body weight.
Okay.
So there's a lot going on in the front feet with regards to the anatomy that those root causes potentiate an inflammatory process in the front feet. Overexertion, overwork on hard asphalt surfaces, green grass, metabolic disease.
Okay.
They can all lead to kind of a chain of events that cause this process we call laminitis.
Okay. And I know laminitis, we could talk
about. Our founder.
Right. I was just going to say. And I'm sure you could talk about that all day. I feel like, there's lots to discuss. And I wanted to take that green grass comment and move it to colic. How often do you feel like, or how concerned should people be with colic and, the lush pastures in the summertime, or maybe in the springtime is more of an issue?
Yeah, we're kind of starting to move out of that springtime, particularly in the fact that we haven't had that monsoon moisture.
Mm-hmm.
And people are getting half the number of days of water on their pastures. So mm-hmm. plants transition when they don't have as much water. The carbohydrates that are in the plants become more mature or less digestible. So there aren't as many sugary, starchy sugars that are usually the ones implicated in the process of fermentation, producing extra gas, causing tummy pain, stomach pain.
Right, and then like a gas colic or something.
Eliciting colic symptoms, which is really just, colic is just abdominal pain.
Right.
So
that's what I get after I eat too much Mexican. I don't know. Sorry. Okay. So should people be limiting pasture time if possible in the springtime then? And what does that look like? I mean, how do you, is there a certain time of day or so many hours easing your horse into the fresh green grass?
It can be challenging. You can't really make a recipe that fits every horse. I mean, optimally your horse's body weight is assessed on some regular basis to determine, does he need to gain weight? Does he need to lose weight? Is mm-hmm. he perfect? And then depending on his or her pasture turnout and other food that you're offering him, does he need more or less mm-hmm. of those easy calories out in the pasture? I mean, horses are healthier when they've got their heads down, they're eating, they're getting exercise, they're moving around.
Right.
It's just many times horses are doing all those things and not getting the exercise, paralleled to that, or they have metabolic issues that mm-hmm. predispose them to gaining too much weight on mm-hmm. relatively fewer calories. I mean, it's a complex equation to determine what a horse needs. Grazing muzzles are, keeping an easy keeper and a hard keeper in the same pasture is
challenging.
Difficult. But grazing muzzles and timing pasture according to particularly spring time sugar content is important, or a plausible solution.
Mm-hmm.
The plants use sugar all night to grow, so they consume the sugar that the sun makes all day
mm-hmm.
in the evening to grow. And then in the daytime, the sun comes up, plant starts, using photosynthesis to produce additional energy in the form of sugars.
Mm-hmm.
And so horses that are easy keepers will potentially consume less calories if they're on pasture in the very early morning hours. By the time the plant is 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, it's had all day in the sun.
It's high sugar content.
It's higher in sugar content. Mm-hmm. It's not that simple of an equation, but hours versus amount of pasture consumed mm-hmm. versus whether the pasture is fertilized or irrigated.
Mm-hmm.
It's just making sure where your horse is with respect to his optimal body weight and adjusting his pasture turnout accordingly.
Just to remind everyone, this is a call-in show. Please give us a call. Any animal-related questions, Dr. Maker's here to answer those for you. 963-2976. So in regards to pasture this time of year, are there any plants or anything like that are toxic to horses that people should be aware of in this area and looking for in their pastures?
There are several.
And can you do a drawing?
Can you do a drawing?
Would you draw that for me, please?
Very poor artist.
I'm just kidding.
There are several plants that are...
Oh, look, we have a phone call. Thanks for calling. How can we help you?
Yeah, just have a quick question about horses.
Yes.
When I was a kid, we had a Shetland pony, and it just seemed extremely mean. It would actually try to run you into trees, knock you off, and when you got back on, it would throw you off, particularly if it was some rough ground like rocks or something.
I think I learned to ride on that pony.
What?
I'm sorry. And so he was a fairly aggressively behaved pony. Was he a gelding?
What was your comment? I didn't hear it.
I remember ponies like that when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah. Is that something that is common to Shetlands or what? We had other horses that were not like that, but that one definitely was. It would, as soon as it knocked you off, it would stand there for you to get back on so it could try to knock you off again.
Boy, I am... not a horse trainer, but as a kid and a young adult, learning to ride on Morgans and ponies and seeing a career's worth of people, there are some really exceptional ponies that just have really long lives and love their jobs. And I've certainly known my fair number of ponies that became sour for... Sometimes it's for a medical or orthopedic issue. We've seen lots of ponies that have changed their temperament because they've got a chronic lameness or stomach ulcers. We've had some ponies over the years that haven't had those issues, and we kind of put it in kind of the pony category. They definitely sometimes have seen some that have had that disposition.
I have seen quite a few ponies that have a little bit of an attitude problem as well.
Some ponies,
I thought this had something to do with being Shetland. Maybe I wasn't that knowledgeable.
Yeah.
As far as the condition of the horse, I was only 10 years old, but we had other horses, and I'm sure we had first care plus veterinarian service and everything. And this horse looked very strong and healthy. I know that.
Do you know if he was gelded late in life? I mean, sometimes that's also something that gets affected if a horse is gelded late in life.
You know, I was only 10 years old, so I don't know about that, but... I think it was relatively young. I don't know, but that stuff. Right
there are some ponies out there that are just truly special with kids that have gentle dispositions, and there are some ponies that
are not so
that
special.
Aren't, and some of those ponies, to give them credit, they have medical issues that probably make them a little sour to their jobs, and others that I think just aren't meant for those jobs.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Bye now. Yeah, I learned to ride on a halflinger pony who was tolerant-ish.
Yeah, depended on the day.
Yes, I got bit. I tell you, I got bit by that pony more than anything.
We were always allowed to ride them, but if we got thrown off, we had to get back on.
Yes.
And you could get thrown off three times in an afternoon.
Look, we have another call.
I was 10, but...
Yeah, well. Thanks for calling.
Hi, I have an older horse, and he gains weight in summer. He's on pasture all the time. In winter, he just goes to being a rack of bone.
Mm.
He doesn't hold his weight on the and good hay that's half alfalfa and good hay that comes from the same place. And so, but he loses weight, and he just does not keep on hay. And so I'd like to find a rescue for him because I'm not able to ride or anything these days. And so I'm wondering if there is a rescue that has nice pasture, and what can I do for him in winter if I still have him that would keep his weight up?
Well,
I have so many people tell me, I mean, I used to give him a beet pulp and, rice bran and what's the other thing? Oats. Keep his weight up and senior feed.
Well,
but
nutrition.
Maybe too much.
What's your actually? How old is he?
About 19.
So there's a change. It's not the biggest issue, but there's a change in horses as they get to their late teens where they need a higher digestibility and higher protein content in their ration. So combine that with some typical dental issues and wear and tear on the teeth over 18 or 19 years. He may need some specific diets just because the digestibility of hay is fairly, one is completely dry and the other is on a wet basis. So making sure his teeth are fine to where he can eat the hay, and then designing a ration for particularly an older horse with special needs is kind of a common problem for those late teens. Sometimes it's late teens, sometimes it's into the 20s, but not out of the ordinary. That's not atypical. Ensuring that he's getting enough calories may require just a simple conversation with your veterinarian about how many pounds, and making sure that he gets an exam to make sure he doesn't have insufficient teeth to properly chew hay, because ultimately it's the bacteria in a horse's hindgut that are doing the digestion, and that digestion doesn't occur unless they're grinding the hay into small enough pieces. So that's where I would start.
Is there an organization? I'm disabled, and is there an organization that, when you can't afford the teeth to be floated,
yes,
is there an organization group that has some sort of assistance so the animal's not suffering?
Well, there's a couple different avenues. The ASPCA right now is teamed up with us, or we've teamed up with them to provide some benefactorial care, if you will, for those in need situations, and you could certainly reach out to our office for that. There are also several 501c3 horse rescues. They're all over the West, but you can, they're pretty easily searchable in Google. There's several in the Valley. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's also a couple big ones out in Texas and Arizona. You know, so a little research online, you might be able to find a rehome, if you will. And
he's a sweetheart. He's just wonderful. He's just the sweetest horse. He was a therapy horse. And he's just a great horse, sweet, you know, older. But I want to rehome him.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it.
Don't know where he'd go. Horse rescue him, because he does need to be, he is a grass eater. He puts on nice weight and.
A lot of those rescues are probably not going to be grass. They're going to be hay, because they have numbers of horses. So that may be more challenging, but certainly some online research may help guide that.
Yeah, and it sounds like maybe also just reach out to your veterinarian for some more, feedback and on diet and things like that. Make sure.
So in the summer, would you just give him some senior feed, or would you supplement with something else? Or just leave him on the straight grass?
I would try and keep him at an optimal body weight. I mean, he may be healthier on grass. If he needs a little extra calories, you can consider a low-starch equine senior feed. But you don't want to overfeed him in the spring and summer so he can, you know, get through the winter. You want to have him kind of at that optimal body weight and then try and design what his feed needs to be for the fall and winter and just make a continuously even body weight.
Just to maintain,
so
yeah.
I would start by looking at his teeth and then kind of establish.
I know he needs some help with his teeth, so you say call the Alpine Animal?
If you call my office, we can give you some information that is through the ASPCA that enables some local funding for horses in need in the Roaring Fork Valley.
I don't want him to suffer because I...
Sure.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
So when you start feeding him something like senior feed and it gets towards winter, I mean, everybody has a different opinion of how much you start with a feed, you know, like a cup a day or, quart a day or half a quart.
We usually use the quantities in pounds in horses. You know, a 1,000-pound horse eats 20 pounds of feed a day on average. And you wouldn't ever want to allow them to have, say, more than 25% of their calories via grain. That said, you'd want to start very gradually and start off down in the 1 to 2 pounds a day and very gradually work up to what he needed for an optimal body weight. So I think he'd need to start with an exam and figure out what he needs so you can move forward in his best interest.
I'm going to interject and let you know that this is, we're going to wrap up the show. Thank you so much for that call.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, Dr. Maker, you're off the hook. I had all these questions about goats.
A shout out and for rodeo.
Oh, yes, yes. Thank you.
Every Thursday in July, starting July 12th, it's time to ride. Trying to
bring your
maintain
kids.
That equestrian heritage in our valley and the young ones both visiting and from here. So we'll have some horses down at the rodeo for kids to groom and learn about horses and take a short ride around to a round pen. So
yeah, bring your kids.
Come down in July and see us at the rodeo and here in Carbondale.
Perfect. All right. You're off the hook on all my other interesting goat questions, but that's next time. All right. Thanks so much for listening to Ask the Vet.